Last Sunday, I had mentioned that we hope to explore the Apostles' Creed. And there's no better time to do that, especially today, that we have young people in our midst, so that together as a family, we are thinking about what we believe. What is it that we believe in? And how does what we believe affect our behavior? How does our belief help us to belong to a family? Last Sunday, I talked about believing, belonging, and behaving. Grace Davey is a British scholar. She has written many years ago about believing and belonging. And what she argues in that work is that believing, that non-regular attendance to worship does not necessarily mean an abdication of religious belief. So she believes that even when people don't attend regularly, they still belong, that faith can be found on the margin. And that is partly why there's that development of that thought about behaving, believing, belonging, and behaving. There's a story about a young person or a member of a congregation who was still very new in faith, but had grown up knowing the Apostles' Creed. And you know, in our time, it's really difficult to speak out for our faith. Politics and religion are highly debated. In fact, to be on the safer side, many people would rather not speak about who they are. They wouldn't want to disclose their identity as Christians because when they do, they are seen as people who are naive, who have little brain, people who are not able to reason for themselves, weak. And so people hardly speak about their faith. And so in this conversation that this young person was in, they were talking about politics, and it became highly heated, and now it moved to religion. So he was almost powerless. But as people were now questioning religion, questioning faith, questioning God's presence and everything about God's existence, this young person never knew what to say. But what he could only do was to start saying the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And that was all he could say. And as he was saying this, all those who were doubting and opposing faith and God, they suddenly kept quiet and were listening. He didn't have to say more except to recite the Apostles' Creed. So for young people, I would recommend that Sunday school to find ways of translating this in a way that young people will understand it. Because we live in an age and time where belief is highly contested. The creed comes from the Latin word, which means I believe. And although it is called the Apostles' Creed, it does not mean that the apostles wrote it, but it is believed that the content of the Apostles' Creed reflects credibly what the apostles taught, and so it forms the foundation of our faith. The Apostles' Creed actually developed as a baptismal a formula, questions that were asked to people during baptism. And then gradually it was formulated into what we have it today. It is very simple and straightforward. It is something that a young person can as well learn, just like we learn the Lord's Prayer. We can as well learn the Apostles' Creed. What the Apostles' Creed does is that at the time it was written, and even now, it was developed to help the early church distinguish from truth and error, to provide a basis for refuting heresy, because there were so many heresies. And today in our world, there are so many alternative voices. There are so many voices that tend to confuse not just the young people, but even the adults. There are so many voices out there in the media, in Facebook, on Twitter. There are so many voices speaking contrary to what we may have grown up believing as God's people. But I would like to say before I progress that the Apostles' Creed is really important, but then it does not form or it does not replace the Bible. The Bible remains the source of authority as contained in the New Testament and in the Old Testament. But the church believes and affirms its faith in the Apostles' Creed because the church believes that the Apostles' Creed reflects what the teachings of the Bible offers to us. And so what I hope to do in the coming weeks is not necessarily is to explore biblical teachings that underlie the Apostles' Creed. Now, in Judges chapter 21, verse 25, the Bible says that everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Now, if you were to ask people today what they believe, you receive perplexing answers. And I remember in my days as a student at the university, we went out with a group of people to do evangelism at the Medios. If you know Medios, behind the main library of the University of Edinburgh. And we met some young people and we're speaking to them about believing God. And one of them said to me, "I don't believe in God." And I said, "That sounds nice. So what do you believe in?" And the young guy said, "I believe in Chelsea. You know, I believe in Chelsea. That is what I believe." Because people believe in something. It just depends on what they really believe. He said, "I believe in Chelsea." And so we now started talking about Chelsea. What does Chelsea do to him that he so believes in Chelsea? Some people believe so much in their football club, believe so much in family, which is good, believe so much in government, in their doctors, which is good, believe so much in the banking system. Well, experiences over the years have shown that we need really to believe in something more than the economic system and government. We need to believe in God. So at the time in Judges, people did what they wanted. And if you ask people what they believe today, you hear things like, "I don't know what I believe in. And if I believe, I believe there is some higher power, I think. But I don't know. Like, seriously, right now, I am at a point where I don't know what to believe. But I am open to everything." And those are the kind of answers you have. And this is where our generation, our world is in. There is really alternative. There are real struggles to believe today. Perhaps you might say it was easier many years ago. But it's really difficult because our beliefs are highly contested today. And so we need to come to a place as young people, as family, where we are able to affirm our belief, where we are able to transmit this belief to the younger children, where we are able to pass on this baton, this faith, this spirit from age to age through the confession. And not just the confession, but also the living out of our faith. Because it is often said that young people, children, learn more by what they see and not necessarily by what they hear. And so as we reaffirm our faith in the Apostles' Creed, we are, in our actions, in our living, expected to transmit, to live out the faith we profess. What does it mean to believe, to say, "I believe"? Now, for instance, in Greek, this word means to believe into something or someone. Now, in English language, we know that belief means different things. For instance, if I say, "I believe it's going to rain tomorrow." Now, and this reminds me of my experience, again, during my days as a student, I was very much given to weather forecast. I would listen to it, like, after saying my last prayer in the night, I would listen to find out what happens the next day. And then I listened so well the Saturday night, and it said it was going to be sunny and dry. So that Sunday morning, I had timed myself on what time it would take me to get to the church. And so I got dressed in native outfit, short sleeve. And I had a half shoe, almost like sandals, without socks. And when I came down, it was pouring heavily. And then I looked at the time. It was already late to go back and change. I had option to go back and change and miss the service or just run to the service. Anyway, I don't know. It changed my understanding of this weather forecast. So if I tell you it is going to rain tomorrow, I believe it will rain tomorrow. What does that mean? What does that mean? Okay, if I say to you that Tony Blair was a former prime minister of Britain, what does that mean? I'm referring to a historical past, something that happened in history. Now, but if I say something like this, I believe in Jesus, it is another level of belief. It means to trust Christ so completely that if he cannot take me to heaven, I'm not going there. Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, the beloved son, and said, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he's able to do that which he has promised. And this is what Spurgeon says. He says, I know the person into whose hand I have committed my present conditions and my eternal destiny. I know who he is, and I therefore, without any hesitation, leave myself in his hands. So everything about me is in his hand. I am safe and secured. You know, when Karen, I had asked Karen if Andrew could come and fall back, and everybody laughed. Why? Because we knew perhaps Karen wouldn't kindly carry Andrew. And I'm sure Andrew wouldn't even want to try that. But when we say I believe in Jesus, it means I am ready. I am committing myself, my present, my past, my future in his hand. And I am safe. I am completely safe in his hand. So the Creed offers us a radical challenge to skepticism, which we find in contemporary societies. I believe. And I believe, as we'll study later in the coming weeks, I believe, and you see this, I believe runs through the creed. We need to affirm it. I believe the resurrection of the body. And I think this is one of the hardest, even though we say it and we walk away, but it's one of the hardest phrases that we have to face as we recite the Apostles' Creed. Because it challenges everything we believe and everything we know to be true. On Friday, on Thursday, I was at the cemetery, for a funeral. And each time you go there, you commit people to the ground and you leave and you see other graves. And when I was sharing the word with them during the funeral, I said, I stood next to my father's grave. And I've seen some of my friends standing beside their graves. And I couldn't just but say, God, I believe. I believe that this is not the end of this, my friends. This is not the end of my father. That one day I am going to see my father, my friends, face to face again. I believe. Now, this is the time to sit back as a family, to think about what we really believe. What is it that makes us come Sunday after Sunday, year after year? What is it that has kept us as God's people over these years? In 2017, there was a survey. A survey was carried out for BBC over the period of 2nd to 12th of February. And the whole idea was to test people's belief in resurrection. One of the questions that they asked was, the Bible tells the story of Jesus rising from the dead. Which, if any, of the following statements best reflects your views on this? Now look at this. 17% said, I believe the resurrection of Jesus from the dead happened, word for word, as described in the Bible, 17%. Then 26% said, I believe in the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, but the story in the Bible contains some content which should not be taken literally. Then look at this, figure. 50% said, I don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And 6% said, I don't know. Perhaps this is the time we are all here, young people, adults, everybody, we are here together on this Sunday morning. I don't know where you fall within this percentage. And the Bible says, if Christ did not rise from the dead, our faith is nothing. And there is no hope for us in the future. I don't know where you stand in your belief. I don't know who you believe in. But as we recite the Apostles' Creed, we are challenged again to think about our belief. Where lies our belief? In what and in whom do we believe? Because it takes believing to be able to transmit the belief to others. In fact, it is always said that we cannot give what we don't have. If we do not believe, we lack the courage to teach our children, our grandchildren, to transmit this faith to them. We need to think about our belief. Death would not have the final say. It did not have the final say over Jesus, and it will not have the final say over us. The Apostles' Creed begins with, I believe. And every Sunday I'll be talking about, I believe. I believe in God the Father Almighty. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe, and I'll come back again to the resurrection as we progress. Why is it that it does not say, we believe? Why does it not say, we believe? It says, I believe. True belief is always personal. I can't believe for you, and you can't believe for me. No wife can believe for her husband, and parents cannot believe for their children. And so as we start this series of sermon as a family, we begin by saying, I believe. And as you say it, and I want us to think more deeply about how our belief is helping to change our lives, how our beliefs is reflected in the way we live, so that we are not just talking the talk, but we are also acting out our belief. Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians and said, you are the written epistles. Our belief should translate in action, in our life, in the way we reach out to one another, in the way we show Christ's love. People will not understand how loving God is. They watch out to our actions, the way we live, the way we respond, to truly believe that Jesus loves. I believe. Do you believe? Do we believe? Today is the time to think about that more deeply, about what you believe in. Amen.